Chapter 11. Taking one look at Nia, the police officer said,
"We can do this another time. You're in shock. Is there someone I can get to come and look after you?"
"No, please, I'd rather do it now." He was very tall and broad, and he seemed to fill the small room. Nia was glad when he sat down. Romeo decided to lie at his feet.
"I'm Ben. First, let's check we have all your details."
"Before that, can you tell me yet how she died?"
He shook his head. "Oh, no, it's far too soon to be speculating about that. Now, let's get through some of the basic questions, shall we?"
They talked briefly about her coming to the island, getting to know Ruby.
"Right, now, you mentioned you saw Ruby last night. Maybe you could tell me about that."
I went down to the beach. I was taking Romeo for his final walk. When I got there, I saw Ruby sat at the top.
"What time did you go down to the beach?"
Time? About 10, I think.
"Was there anyone else about?"
"No. I let Romeo off the lead and went to sit with her."
"It was a bit odd, wasn't it, to be sitting alone on the beach at that time of night?"
"I thought that. I asked her what she was doing down there, but she'd told me before she went down there to talk to the sea. She found it comforting, I think."
Nia's voice broke. "I'm so sorry. Take your time," said the police officer. "How did Ruby seem to you?"
Nia crossed her arms, holding herself. It was important she tried to concentrate, remember every detail she could.
She was upset. She'd had a few arguments with people and felt people were angry with her."
"Did she say who she'd argued with?"
"There had been a difficult time at a party yesterday afternoon."
Nia told him about the call Ruby had received on the helpline, how she'd been sure it was someone from the close.
"No one owned up at the time. Most people felt she shouldn't be sharing about it, but Ruby was worried about this person, wanted to help. Ruby talked more about it on the beach. In fact, she'd written a letter to them. She read it out to me and then she sealed it."
Nia paused.
"But I could have sworn she sealed that using red wax and an expensive ring on her right hand."
She looked over at Ben.
"That had gone as well."
She shook her head.
"I don't understand any of this. Nothing makes sense."
"Let me make sure I've got this right. Are you saying the candle was red, not green, and that Ruby used a different sealing ring, one that appeared missing when you found her this morning?"
"I am. Well, I think so."
Nia frowned. "It's hard to remember things, isn't it?
I'm sorry, I've not been too well recently. My husband says I misremember things."
"Don't worry, just tell me what you can. In any case, you are still in shock. Things will come back to you. How would you say Ruby's mood was when you left her?"
"She was very unhappy. It wasn't only the scene at the party. I think things with her husband were complicated."
"In what way?"
"I think she was worried he might be seeing someone else, but I don't know anything more than that."
"I see. Well, we can talk to her husband about that. Was there anything else?"
"She was still upset by this doll thing she'd been sent."
Seeing the police officer's confused expression, she explained what had happened.
"This voodoo doll had been sent to her back in February, you say, but she didn't know who had sent it to her."
"No, she mentioned about being in a craft group with Lucy, Elvira and Jade when I think they used those materials. She hinted maybe one of them might have sent it, but she wasn't sure."
The police officer, who had been writing down everything she said, looked up.
"Thank you, that's helpful. We certainly have plenty to be looking into. I expect you saw the empty bottle of whiskey on the beach. Did you see Ruby drinking?"
"I did, and it surprised me. She didn't usually drink like that, and when I left her, she'd told me she wasn't going to drink much more."
"Did you drink as well?"
"A few glasses, not a lot."
"And drugs? Did you see Ruby take anything?"
"Oh, no, no drugs. I can't see Ruby ever taking drugs."
"And you?"
"God, no, never."
"Do you know what time you left her?"
"It was about 11:15. I had a video call with my daughter, but I wish now I'd stayed."
"And did you see anyone as you were leaving?"
"No, we were on our own. If only I'd gone back, but I forgot. That's terrible, isn't it? If I'd gone back, she might still be alive.
You mustn't blame yourself. Was there a reason you forgot to go back?
Nia felt herself blushing.
I had a difficult call with my daughter, Safi. She is abroad, travelling. After that, I drank some wine and fell asleep on the sofa here. I feel very guilty about that.
Try not to worry too much. I'm sure we will have a much clearer idea soon what happened.
He closed his notebook.
Thank you so much. You've been very helpful. Now, how long will you be staying here?
A few more weeks, I guess.
So you're not planning to go anywhere soon? Good. We may have a few more questions.
He stood up.
Thank you again, Nia. I'm sure you're exhausted. If you think of anything else, don't hesitate to call. Someone will pop out to see you next week. Check how you are getting on. It can be a terrible shock, something like this. Take care. I know you are here alone. Can I contact someone to sit with you?
No, it's all right. I'd rather be on my own, to be honest.
He glanced down at the glass.
Maybe have some coffee?
She gritted her teeth and nodded. She didn't reply, but opened the front door, and he left. Nia slumped down on the sofa, exhausted. It all seemed like some horrible nightmare. Was Ruby actually dead? She looked out of the window. It was so quiet out there. The salon, the gallery, and White's would be closed today, although she guessed Ethan and Elvira would still be working. Nia looked across the close, thought of Jade, and further up the road, Richie. Should she see if she could help? She knew the answer to that was no. This was a time for close family and friends. The truth was, she was a relative stranger. It would be intrusive to call on anyone. What if they blamed her in some way? Was there something she could have said or done to have stopped this? Nia's thoughts returned to the beach, the sight of Ruby lying there. It was odd about the ring, but the police would probably find it. As for the colour of the wax, maybe she had been wrong. How could she be sure? Nia knew she would have to leave the police to investigate now. She had told them all she knew. They'd find the ring, explain the seal on the letter, find out who had been down on the beach after her. The police officer had said he would be back. Maybe she would learn more then. Nia spent the rest of that day and the following one alone, peeping through her curtains, watching comings and goings. She took Romeo for short walks, slipping out when no one was about. One thing she realised she had to do was contact Gwen. She would want to know what had happened to Ruby. She was dreading telling her, not only because she knew how shocked she'd be at what had happened, but also because she was aware that Gwen had asked her to watch out for Ruby, something she'd failed to do. However, she forced herself to sit and email Gwen, tell her what had happened. She waited until the evening to ring Chris, who was still at school. He was sympathetic, worried about the effect it had had on her, and she confessed to her nerves about giving a statement to the police. She told him about the business with the candles, how confused she was. Chris advised her not to commit to anything, to allow for the fact she might have made a mistake, and allow the police to find out what had happened. It was quite comforting in a way, not to feel responsible. But for Nia, it wasn't quite that simple. She was involved. She'd been with Ruby. And she'd broken her promise to return. On Wednesday, she woke to sunshine and knew she couldn't bear another day hiding in the house. She needed to get away and clear her head. On a bookshelf, she found the file Gwen had left of walks and decided to head for somewhere called Modiston Down, and maybe go onto the beach after. The directions were straightforward, and she found the car park and then went through the wooden gate that led to a chalky path up to the downs. It was steep, but the view from the top was stunning. The view along the island coastline was breathtaking, taking in long stretches of beaches and the chalky cliffs of Tennyson Down, and, on a clear day like today, the monument. The wind washed her face, and then she heard it. Far over in the woods, the distinctive sound of a male cuckoo, the call of spring. He had made a treacherous journey from Africa, over deserts and seas, at the dead of night, to come back here. Nia blinked. Nature continued. The circle of life, death, new life. It was here, and it comforted her. From the Downs, she drove down to a new beach she'd found, Compton Bay. Nia read the notice at the top of the steep metal steps, and after she'd climbed down, turned left to the area of beach where dogs were allowed. Here she let Romeo off his lead, took her old trainers off, and walked along the sand. She loved the way every day the sand was a fresh canvas, that in places hers were the first footsteps to make their prints that day. Romeo's confidence had grown on the beach, and today he splashed among the pools, rolled on the seaweed, jumping over the waves as they hit the shore. When she returned, she saw she'd received an email in reply from Gwen. It was short, but it was clear she wanted to talk properly. They arranged a phone call that evening, and Gwen rang promptly at 7. "Hiya," she said, and the familiar voice warmed near. "I should say good evening to you, although it's only 11 in the morning here." "How are you? How is Kerry?" Nia learned that the midwife was pleased with the way things were progressing. It shouldn't be too long now until the baby arrived. After a cursory chat about Nia's time in the house, they moved quickly on to the subject of Ruby. Gwen was naturally very shocked. "I can't quite believe it. How could such a tragedy occur?"
"I am sorry. I feel so guilty. You'd said you were worried about Ruby and asked me to befriend her. I feel I have let you down."
"There is no way you could have foreseen this happening. Tell me everything."
Nia went through the night before and the morning she'd found Ruby's body on the beach.
"It sounds like she was very unhappy. I wish she'd told me about the voodoo doll. It sounds horrible. No wonder she was upset."
"Have you any idea who could have sent it?"
The line went quiet.
"I don't know. But if Ruby says it was someone in the close, I should, shouldn't I? I know things had been difficult between her and Ian after the accident, and she seemed to have a rather strained relationship with Elvira, but I can't think of any major falling out. Poor Ruby, she was so sensitive. It's the kind of thing that would have really upset her."
"I know. I wish now I'd stayed down with her, not left her alone on the beach."
"You weren't to know."
"But I promised to go back to her, and I forgot. I failed her, Gwen."
"I am sure Ruby's death was not your fault, and anyway you hardly knew her, and at least you sat with her. She told you things she didn't tell anyone else."
"Whatever you say, I do feel partly responsible. Although I'd only just started to get to know her, I feel we connected. I was able to talk to her, and she shared things with me. It doesn't seem right that someone who was, after all, only trying to help people and do the right thing should have spent her last hours so unhappy."
"I agree. I think her religion had messed her up. She could be too dogmatic and black and white, but she was a good person. The way she cared for her mum was wonderful.
Now, did you say some things seemed different the next morning when you found her? Did you say something about a candle?"
"Yes, I could have sworn the candle she had was red. Also, I thought she'd had an expensive signature ring on, in fact had used it, but it was gone."
"I know the ring you mean. It was beautiful. She always wore it. Oh, Nia, I am so sorry all this has happened," said Gwen. "You poor thing. I wonder when the police will work out how Ruby died."
"I've no idea. She was drinking whiskey, but that was all."
"A few glasses of whiskey aren't going to kill her, are they? I guess we'll have to wait for the police to look into things. Of course, if you were right, and things had been changed, then that would mean someone else went down to Ruby after you."
"I suppose so, but Gwen, I could have been mistaken. It's hard to tell colours in the dark, but I could have sworn it was red, and that she used the expensive ring."
"You could be right."
"But we both know I've not been well. I could be wrong."
"I don't see why being exhausted should mean you can't trust your memory.
Tell me, do you think the break is helping you?"
Gwen asked gently.
"Sometimes it seems to. On the beach, up on Tennyson Down, I feel almost normal, like my old self."
"That's good. You must keep going out. I'm sure Romeo is loving it. How are Richie and Jade, by the way?"
"I've not seen much of them. It must be awful."
"Of course. Look, I have to go, but can you email me if you find out anything else? Maybe we could arrange a call again." Of course. Give my love to Kerry.
When the call finished, Nia felt at a loss, and so she went to the kitchen. She made a pot of tea but left the lid off for it to cool. Then she found a large mixing bowl, added in a mountain of mixed fruit, breathing in the rich smell of the sultanas, currants, and mixed peel. Finally, after testing the temperature of the tea, she poured it over the fruit.
There we are, she said to Romeo. We'll leave this to rest until tomorrow, and then we shall make some scrummy barabrith. You never know, someone might call.
However, the next day, no one called. Instead, Nia sliced up the cake and took it out with her as she explored the woods. She did the same the following days. On Sunday evening, Nia guessed no one would be going to White's and was settled with a glass of wine and reading when she heard a sharp knock at the door. Opening the front door, Nia saw Ben, the police officer who had taken her statement the day she had discovered Ruby's body.
Good evening. I thought I'd come and see how you were doing.
He followed her into the house and they sat down.
I'm much better now, thank you. Do you have any news about what happened to Ruby?
I'm afraid there is very little I can share at this point.
Oh, I see. Did you find out anything about the candles or the ring? Remember, I thought it had been a red candle and a ring was missing on her right hand.
I do remember. We did take note of everything you said. I'm afraid we have yet to find any evidence of the red candle you mentioned or the ring. We understand Ruby had said the ring was rather loose and also it needed cleaning. It could be that she had taken it into a jeweller or put it somewhere for safekeeping.
And so I was mistaken in what I saw.
It is possible, but of course we are still looking into everything. We have carried out a very thorough search of the beach and Ruby's home.
I see. I'm so confused. You know, I could have sworn that candle I saw was red.
It would have been difficult to distinguish colours in the dark.
I realise that. Did you get any further in finding who sent the voodoo doll?
That is ongoing.
His lips were firmly pressed together. He wasn't going to say any more than that.
And the caller? Did you find who rang the helpline?
Again, he shrugged.
You can't tell me, but surely you can at least tell me if you know how Ruby died.
We are starting to put a few things together, but I can't share that with you yet either. There is, however, one thing I need to discuss with you.
The officer rubbed his lips together, and Nia knew he was preparing himself to ask something difficult.
I need to ask you, Nia, if you have any recollection of exactly how much you drank on the beach with Ruby.
I accepted a few glasses of whiskey, no more.
I see. The problem is we have a witness, a fisherman, who you apparently bumped into as you left the beach. He said, in his words, that you reeked of booze. The point is, your memory must be sketchy.
You're making me feel like some kind of alcoholic. But I wasn't drunk when I was with Ruby.
The police officer coughed.
Of course, you will think that, but it's difficult for us to be sure.
You don't believe anything I have told you.
I am not saying that. In fact, we have taken everything you have said very seriously. As possibly the last person to see Ruby alive and then find her body the next day, we are looking very closely at your statements and movements during that time.
Nia stared in alarm as the implications of what he'd said sank in.
I didn't have anything to do with Ruby's death, she said quickly.
He gave a glimmer of a smile.
We have been able to reassure ourselves about that. We know Ruby was alive when you left her because the fisherman spoke to her, checking she was okay. We know also you made the call to your daughter as we were able to check your phone records.
You checked my phone?
We did. You see, we don't physically need your phone to trace your calls. Also, assuming you were in the same location as your phone, we can be pretty sure you were in this house all night.
Nia was shocked. It never crossed my mind that you would be checking up on me.
We are very thorough in a case as serious as this.
Ben stood up.
I'll leave you now. Thank you for all the help you have given us. Do get in touch if you remember anything else.
With this, he left. Nia felt she'd learned very little, apart from the fact she'd clearly been checked up on, and the police seemed to think she'd been pretty drunk that night on the beach with Ruby. Nia was in the kitchen making a cup of tea when she heard the clatter of a note coming through the letterbox. Romeo was barking at the intrusion. She picked up the note and read it.
"We will be holding a vigil tomorrow evening at 9 on the beach where Ruby died. We will light white candles, read some poems, and have a time of quiet to remember our lovely Ruby. Everyone is very welcome to join us. With love, Jade and Richie."